Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee meeting, March 8th, 2022, 4 o'clock p.m. Prior to getting started, the Notification of Open Meetings Act is posted on announcement of the meeting procedure. I'll briefly run through that. A copy of the Open Meetings Act revised statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action, and we ask that the public not interrupt the directors' discussion and action. Thank you very much. Quorum call.
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
Sikorski?
Here.
Teacher?
Here.
Chairperson?
Here. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So move.
Second.
Motion and second. Roll call.
Jeff?
Yes.
Stavinsky?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Aye. We have proof of publication of tonight's meeting, and it will be part of the permanent record. Item number six, review and recommendation of the Elkhorn River Improvement Project Area IPA Operation and Maintenance Assessment. Eric Williams.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the annual assessment to provide funding for ongoing operations and maintenance and improvements along the Elkhorn River, kind of northwest of Omaha. The most important information that we've got included here is after the flood from 2019, we carried out significant improvements along several locations in that IPA area. We did receive the reimbursement from FEMA for the work that was eligible under their program, but we did expend a majority of the funding in the account in order to carry out the work. And that is the intended purpose of the IPA, is an annual assessment, so that when we need to do work to provide stabilization along the stretch of the Elkhorn River, we have funds available to protect both public infrastructure and private property. So funding from FEMA has been received, and that leaves the current balance at $20,280. That would be basically the collected assessment from last year. We collect $20,000 each year. So we haven't had any additional work since the repairs after the flood in 2019, but we are going to again begin collecting funds through the annual assessment so that in the event that we need to carry out work again in the future, there will be funds available to move that forward. We do inspections to make sure that we understand the conditions along the stretch of the river. So I'll probably be out there this spring. Usually some of the other O&M staff from the NRD go, and we work with Fire Engineering as the designer who helps us when we have projects in this area. So this is the recommendation to provide the documents to Douglas County to assess the properties in the benefited area along the Elkhorn River IPA, collect those funds, and then have them available in the future if we need to carry out any operations and maintenance. The documents are all the same each year. It's the same amount. We'll work with Douglas County if there are any property changes that have occurred since last year to make sure that the assessments are correct based on the current property owners. They have those records, and we update as necessary. But we expect the same properties, the same assessment per acre, and then the same total assessment of $20,000 that we've had over the last several years. And I'd be glad to answer any questions if you have them.
Thanks, Eric. We could have a motion on this item.
So moved.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
Yeah. Look, I had a concern down from Flat River Landing, or Elkhorn Crossing, rather, where it makes the curve to the east. It looked like it was eroding out in there. I think I may have mentioned that to you. Would that be something you'd be looking at?
So we did an inspection out there a little while ago. There's been various types of bank stabilization done over the years, even back to probably the 70s, where some unofficial stabilization activities might have occurred. It looks like most of that is pretty stable. If it has changed since last year when I was out there, we can take a look again. But in general, we understand that things are mostly pretty stable through that area. I did talk to a property owner about 2 weeks ago from that area who had some concerns about some work that was carried out in that area as well. So we might be going out to visit that location just to make sure that other activities in the river are also complying with our design stabilization. So I might be out there anyway to take a look at that. But if you do have another location that we need to take a look at, you can let me know, and Fire and I will be out there and do that inspection.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the directors? Roll call.
Stavinsky?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Aye. Item number seven, review and recommendation of the No Name Dyke High Ground Project. Professional services agreement with Midwest Right-Away, Martin Cleveland, and John Borgmeyer, Midwest Right-Away.
Thank you. This is John Borgmeyer, by the way.
Hello.
Bill, if you could go to the map, which is at the end of that series of PDF. First of all, I'll give you an idea, again, where this project's at. Let's see if this is how it works. Valley's up at the upper end of this map. This is, of course, the Platte River. And Union Dyke runs along the Platte for about 9.5 miles from Fremont down to Valley. Then No Name Dyke starts at UP Tracks here and it runs down for 2 miles down to Bonda Street. So it's a 2 mile stretch of levee. And it was actually improved in the late 80s, early 90s by the NRD. When we were doing the Union Dyke improvements, the locals out there indicated to us that there's a need to do work on that dike because it served, provided protection to western Douglas County and also the valley. And later studies showed that the water would actually, as a side note, back up in the valley if this would ever break. So this levee down here is crucial to valley as well as areas to the east of that that location. So in this area, we call high ground areas in the Sokol Camp development. It's in red here. It's about 1,300 feet of high ground. The levee effectively ties into both ends of it, and then the high ground area is actually taller, higher than the levee, so it serves as a protection component of the entire two-mile-long stretch of levee. So tonight what we're here for is really we have a hearing on Thursday to go over your right-of-way acquisition, which would be acquiring easements for this project. So the proposal is to obtain easements that would restrict the lowering of this property. So basically, people that live out there can still live out there, just that they can't lower it down below a certain elevation. We're trying to restrict it so that this embankment doesn't go away. We had a situation about a year and a half ago. One of the owners decided to cut into the high ground area, which is, again, like the levee. So it became a concern to us that we need to try to resolve this issue. 30 years ago, we were kind of assured by everybody out there that don't worry about it, you know, it's not going to be a problem. But unfortunately, owners change, and then sometimes their attitudes towards what they live on changes, of course, and they own the property. So this is an attempt to try to correct that issue. So tonight we have, or this afternoon actually, proposed a professional services agreement with the Midwest Right-Away. And what they would do is contact these 13 different owners of 15 lots, and they would be tasked with acquiring easements on behalf of the district. They would come back to the district and present it to the board at various times throughout the process, the proposed purchase agreements. And so in the memo, you can go back to the memo, Bill, it outlines the three things that they're going to do, but basically it's project management, acquisition, negotiations, and then preparing the documents to go along with that acquisition. Again, these lots are 13 lots. Maximum not to exceed of the agreement is $58,500. That is beyond the $50,000 board policy limit, so that's one reason we're here tonight is to, because it's over your policy, we need to ask you to waive that policy to accept this contract. We, again, believe that Midwest Right-Away is the best qualified to do this work. In fact, they're the only firm probably in Omaha that does this kind of work. But they're best qualified based upon our experience working with them over many years to do this work. So we'd ask you to, first of all, waive the 15.2 purchasing policy, and then we'll also authorize the general manager to execute the agreement with Midwest Right-Away to do this work up to a maximum of $58,500. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions, and John can answer questions, too, about the actual agreement if you need feedback on that.
Okay. We can have a motion on this item.
I'll move.
We got a motion? We have a second?
Second.
Second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Jim?
We're going to have to acquire the right-of-way, rights of way after the assessment's done, is that correct?
The appraisal's already been done, so there's an appraisal on each of these properties. But what Midwest Right-Away would do is actually, of course, go to meet with the people and present the offer, which would be based upon the appraised value. So valuation services prepared an appraisal for each of these lots, and so there's a value assigned to each of these lots. And based upon that information, they'll present that offer to these people. And, of course, they can say, no, we don't want to do that, or they can counteroffer like they always do. But hopefully they'll be cooperative and we can get this done without any kind of domain process. But the hearing would be required to make that legal step, which is basically, in case there is no domain required, you got the legal step of having a hearing to present this to the people who own the property.
Okay.
So I don't know if I answered your question or not. I kind of got off on the rabbit trail there a little bit.
Any other questions from directors?
In full disclosure, this is the area that I live in. And I was president of this Sokol Camp Association for 35 to 40 years. And when we did the No Name Dyke project, we did have to add some ground behind some of these houses to raise it up to the proper height, which is the 100-year flood level. And there were some higher houses. Well, at that point, and they were on higher ground, we failed to get a high the high ground easement. It was probably an oversight on our part, and it really should have been done to prevent somebody from coming in there. And what happened is we had one guy wanted to build a two-car garage. He started digging out the dike, and the shit hit the fan. And so that's kind of why we're here tonight.
Any other questions from directors? Roll call.
Teaser?
Yes.
On it?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Aye. Item number 8, review and recommendation of the Little Papio Creek Channel Culverts Rehabilitation Project, Group A Construction Bids, Martin Cleaver.
Okay, thank you. If you go to the map first, you're already there. He's thinking just like I am. That's kind of scary, actually. Real scary. This is Linda Rogers, by the way, with FIRA, who's our advisor on this project and engineer on the project. These culverts we're talking about tonight, or this afternoon, are along Little Papio Creek from basically Q Street up to north of Maple. So the little red dots are a culvert location. There's 19 culverts involved in this Group A construction bid. Of those, 10 are actually owned by the city and 9 are owned by the NRD. The city has signed their agreement with the district a couple months ago to cost share in this effort, basically to pay for their share of the cost, and they agreed to pay $2.4 million over 3 years. And so we received bids on this project in February 24th. Only received one bid, and it was $4.491,531, so $4.5 million roughly, from MC Wells Contracting. And if you can go to the memo, Bill. The engineer's estimate for this project was $4.15 million. And so the construction bid is $333,850.42 higher than the engineer's opinion of cost. The engineers did provide a recommendation letter, and Linda can certainly address your questions on that. The bottom line is we feel like the bid is a good bid. It's certainly more than the engineer's estimate, but we're seeing a lot of inflation in prices. It's affecting everything, as you know, in your daily life of purchasing gas or whatever it may be. It's affecting contractors, too. And so it's like a moving target. They've told me, in fact, the bidder said at the bid opening that PVC pipe, which he has to buy for some projects, it changes every week. The price changes every week. So how do you bid a project with knowing that it's going to be a moving target? We think it's still a decent bid based upon the fact that we know inflation is affecting things. There's a lot of contractors are busy, too, so we feel like this bidder is probably the only bidder we're going to receive just because everybody's busy right now. He has worked in the past for Graham Construction, which is did a lot of work for the district on levees, including pipe rehab, so he's very familiar with the actual pipe rehabilitation process. So we're recommending that you select MC Wells Contracting bid. And I'll be happy to have answer any questions along with Lindy about the actual recommendation that she provided to us.
Thank you, Martin. Does she want to say anything?
Want to say anything?
I'll just quote something from dear old Marlin. He used to always say, as an engineer, you never want to be the little bitter. So kind of made me laugh, you know, when I was. But like Martin said, there's a lot of things that come into play on this. And, you know, he mentioned about the prices changing. They also, from the contractors I'm talking to, when they get quotes from these people, most of these people are only holding the quotes for 10 days. So, you know, you guys are lucky enough that you move fast on these, so you can get a notice of award out pretty quick. But a lot of them, they can't even hold their price through a notice of award anymore. So it's just a really strange environment right now.
This project could be over a year period of time, too. So this contractor's got to commit to these prices for a whole year. It isn't just for 6 months or
right.
2 months. So he's taking some risk, I think, in his part doing that, because I'm not sure he can get prices locked in that far out for what he's doing. But we feel like it's probably this project needs to be done, certainly, in order to satisfy core criteria to maintain the levee, maintain the channel in proper condition for flood conveyance. We need to do these things, but you always hate to pay more money. You'd like to pay less. You'd like to have three bids. You'd like to have someone lower your engineer's investment, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. This is one of these times. So I'd be happy to answer any other questions you may have on this.
Thank you very much. We could have a motion on this.
So moved.
Got a motion? We have a second.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Roll call.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Kaminsky?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Aye. That concludes my presentation.
The time is 4:16. We'll call the FEL subcommittee meeting to order. With that, the notification of the Open Meeting Act is posted outside. Number 3, forum poll.
Tommy?
Aye.
Here.
Bradley?
Here.
Davidson?
Here.
McCormick?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Here. Adoption of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
And Chairperson?
Yes. I have the firm proof of publication of this meeting. Moving on to item 6, review and recommendation of 319 Big Tapio Creek car share funds exceeding FY22 budget. Hal Benson? Good evening.
How are you?
How are you doing?
Kyle Massam, 319 Watershed Coordinator for the Big Tapio Creek 319 funds. Got a quick brief overview of kind of how our program has been going. If you don't know, this is the 319 watershed that we've been focusing on. You can see it kind of encompasses Bennington on the Douglas side of the border and then mostly moves into Washington, stays to the east of Arlington and a little bit west of Blair and then goes north. This is just to give you an idea where the project is at. So far, since we've started, all these items here that are outlined in red, these are projects that are either in motion or already approved and finished. So we've been having some pretty decent success with it, especially given the challenges that we've been coming up against. The main point of the 319 program is basically to reduce E. coli loading in our surface waters through best management practices, offering incentives to best management practices for farming, as well as replacement of old septic systems. The objectives that we were given, we had two objectives. The first objective had 5 tasks, and it's about education and information. I go ahead and I list different handouts, breakdown, cost share breakdown matrices, quick fact sheets that I can give to our field representatives so they can speak confidently on the program. Failing septic handouts so people can understand if their septic is going down. We've done a website announcement on the Papio website, online maps, in-person maps, as well as 2 local newspaper articles and 2 radio spots. Number two, conduct semi-annual meetings. We were supposed to do six in total. Given that since the beginning of the program, COVID has kind of been prevalent, we, on behalf of the NRD, did not feel comfortable actually holding educational events on our own just because of the liability. So in that stead, I went to other public events and actually spoke as an educational speaker to actually get the word out to kind of fulfill this part of the grant. We actually had six required. We already have seven done. Conduct one-on-one meetings with landowners, 60 total. We've done 87 so far. To continue engaging stakeholder groups, we prevented to our local septic service providers. They're very excited about our program. They love to promote our program. That's a wonderful way to keep promoting is by using local industry. Also, continued education for the NRCS staff and the NRD field staff to kind of keep pushing our incentives in the area. And the fifth goal there was to track participation, which we track online with an ARC online map. Includes photo documentation, semi-annual reporting for reimbursement costs, but we also do semi-annual reporting for meeting our objective goals. That being said, our second objective was to meet these eight goals. These are our hardline goals. You can see the three that are in red are the ones that are falling behind compared to the other five. You can kind of see to the right, I've put how much we've gotten out of. So like 100 riparian acres, we've gotten 3 acres of riparian buffers. And then two wet detention basins, we have one in the works at the moment. 21 septic systems, we have 8 completed. And you can follow that on down the line. You can see at the bottom there, we also have just a little under 50 acres of additional conservation in conservation cover and high diversity pollinator habitat. I just wanted to speak to some of the challenges of the program. Obviously, commodity prices have been a large part of this. Since the beginning of our program, almost right on cue, corn went above $5 a bushel. We are competitive in our incentive program of about $4.75 to $4.85 a bushel. When I made this, I believe it was $6.47 a bushel. It has since gone up to, I believe, $7.23. So it gives us a significant disadvantage on pushing our incentives. Also, all our offices have been closed just for federal guidelines through COVID. We don't get the normal office traffic. We don't get to speak to as many people and have that face-to-face interaction. And a good example is we had Andy Bonenkamp come in here, the head of the NRCS for our office, and talk about CRP signups a few months ago and how they're down 150% down in 2021. Other problems or challenges to overcome were just practice complications. Places like buffers are the most productive ground for farmers, so it's hard for them to give up putting incentives on that. You have to put pretty large incentives on something like that. And then just general maintenance of these practices. But despite all these challenges, 5 of the 8 project goals in our second objective are on track based on our 3-year grant cycle when we plan this PIP. All our educational information goals are met for the grant, and we still have, 8 or 9 months left in it. And then this being our full first active year with the program, we've already exceeded our allocated budget, so we kind of consider that a good indicator that it actually is rolling pretty good, even though we have these challenges in front of us. And we are in the works for reapplying for the second cycle of this grant. We'll be extended instead of a 3-year to a 5-year cycle. And we're currently working with the NDEE to access 319 special grant help for our wet detention basin that we're putting in Dunker Dam out in our area. I just wanted to highlight a few things that we've done. The two pictures on the left is one of our septic replacements. This family had sewage coming into their basement on a regular basis daily by the time that we actually got the septic people out there. Our cost share program is $7,500 or 75% up to $7,500, and the typical replacement for a septic system is $10,000. This one actually cost $18,000. We decided to partner with Habitat for Humanity. They had a home repair program. They actually picked up the other half of the bill, took half of it, put it into a grant, and the other half is a zero-interest loan to the family, and we got this project actually done and finished. To the right, this is a the two pictures to the right here is a program through the NRCS. It's the EQIP program we're partnering with. We're getting 33 acres of conservation cover and a wet retention basin, a sediment basin that will hold water and provide a wetland habitat through their EQIP WIN initiative. The top two pictures are examples of us partnering with Pheasants Forever in our pollinator safety corners. The idea is that we create higher visibility at rural corners to prevent T-bone intersection or crashes, increase safety. We put in low-growing 2 to 3 foot prairie plants instead of having a cash crop that can grow up to 6 foot, 7 foot tall. And then it also provides pollinator habitat. Got that. And then on the bottom here, we have our two pictures of our WIP program that's actually done through the NRD. Obviously, the field on the left is the before picture, and the field on the right is the after picture. Providing incentive to these programs has been really important. It's really gotten people to move away from or be able to do their cropland conversion into conservation. If we can go back to the memo. As of currently in our fiscal year of 2022, we've spent up to date $132,404, and we had allocated $150,000. Given the price of septic systems and the success of our septic program, we estimate that we will breach this $150,000 level. We're asking that we move $50,000 over from our CAP fund to kind of cushion us from fully going over that by the end of the cycle. And that's it. Any questions I can answer?
I'd like to move staff recommendation.
Is there a second staff recommendation?
Second.
Thank you. Is there any questions or comments from the general public?
I just had a quick question. Is the CAP program less than what you anticipated this year, or did?
It does have an excess budget yet, and we don't expect to exceed it. It's currently sitting around $330,000, and we think that the $50,000 being pulled.
I understand that. I just. Asking about the CAP program, but there just weren't as many sign-ups as you anticipated, you think, or what was the reason there is excess?
Yeah, honestly, like I said, just the regular challenges that we experience in the office. We have to get out and get out and talk to them as much as we can.
Thank you. Right, because sometimes I suppose the federal funds actually pay a higher percentage than we do, so.
It was kind of a dual, COVID and then also the federal.
Thank you.
And the other, Joseph Bradley.
Yes. Were you saying CRP?
CAP. It's conservation assistance.
CRP. That's what I thought it was called. All right. I stand corrected on that. And then Pheasants Forever project. I guess you were doing with them. Will the NRD or will you be down at the Pheasant Fest this weekend at all?
I think my direct supervisor might be able to answer that one better.
I think Terry Schumacher goes.
Okay. Well, and I missed the NRD at the Omaha Boat Sport and Travel Show like last weekend or 2 weekends ago. You know, we should have been there, but oh well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Hearing none, roll call.
Davidson?
Yes.
Yes.
Conley? Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
And
Chairperson? Yeah. Thank you. Brett, do we need to go to that? Okay. Yes. Item 7, review recommendation land acquisition for Russell Free and Regional Basin number 1. We need to have a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Roll call.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Roll call.
Huntley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes.
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
Second. Do we have a second?
I second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I missed it. Everybody else? Okay, roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Huntley?
Aye.
And Chairperson?
Yes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think that concludes our evening.
I got to meet the handyman.